Welcome to the Life Church St. Peter's Message of the Week. We hope you're encouraged by today's message and encounter God's heart through it. To find out more about us, visit lifechurchstpeters.com.
So this morning I would like to continue on in a series about family, healthy family. We started the first part of the year with gifts of the Holy Spirit. Fruits of the Holy Spirit, peace, patience. It was fantastic. And now healthy family must and has to be energized by the power of the Holy Spirit. Otherwise, we are subject to everything that happens in the world. But Jesus came that people would be whole. Individuals would be whole. That families would be whole. Communities would develop. And as he prayed, the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. That's his desire. So this morning, I want to continue on in healthy church, healthy family, with a specific on having a healthy heart, because you can't have a healthy family without having a healthy heart. So I'm going to look at, it's already been referenced by Rick Perryman earlier. And I'd like us to look at one of my very favorite chapters in the Bible, maybe for me, one of the two teachings that Jesus did that have most impacted me. So we're going to look at Luke chapter 15. If you have paper, praise Jesus for paper. If you have electronic, you can start pushing buttons. It'll be Luke chapter 15. And in this time, Jesus is famous. Crowds are coming everywhere he goes. Some for healing, some for the fireworks, some to see him mix it up with the religious leaders of the day. They wanted to see, it was just exciting. I've heard about water into wine, and he's touching lepers, and eyes are open, ears unstopped. This Jesus is amazing. Could he be the Messiah? Or like the religious people are saying, he's just a false prophet, pulling people to himself. And Jesus is navigating his 3.5 years of earthly ministry between people who want to kill him, and for the first time, people who have hope. That maybe God is real. Maybe God is amongst us. Maybe this man, could he be the Messiah? And we pick it up into Luke chapter 15, and there's three main components to this chapter. But let's just start with Luke 15, 1 through 3, NIV. Now the tax collectors and the sinners, tax collectors and sinners on this side. Hey, the future's good for you, though. Future's very good. On this side is the other team. Yeah, look out. It started good. So you have the tax collectors and the sinners. We're all gathering around to hear Jesus. But the Pharisees and teachers of the law muttered. So it is a split crowd. It is a large, they're starting to throw stuff. Yeah, the sinners know how to throw stuff. Y'all be careful. Two very diverse groups of people, but both have come to hear Jesus for very different reasons. One, to find grounds for all their difficulty with Jesus, to prove he's a false prophet, to prove he's not who he says he is. Toppling their power base. Everyone's going out to see this Jesus. And the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, the religious people, don't like it. And they especially don't like Jesus, so much so they'd like to kill him. These people just have hope. They'll follow him anywhere. Talk, teach, help. Verse 1. So the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear Jesus. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered. This man, Jesus, welcomes sinners and eats with them. There's just some beautiful segues between this movie I saw last night and this passage. This man, Jesus, welcomes sinners. And not just that, he eats with them. Then Jesus told them this parable. Two distinct groups at odds with one another, not liking one another, attending the same conference for very different reasons. And Jesus told them three different parables. The lost sheep, the lost coin, and the prodigal son. Now, a parable is really just super simple. Jesus made up a simple story that he used to illustrate a moral or spiritual lesson. He gave them a story. It's kind of like this. And he told them stories, three of them, right in a row, to explain the kingdom, to explain his father's heart, and his father's heart for people. So he gave them three illustrative stories that weren't in print. He didn't pull them out of Isaiah 9. He said, "You're asking about the kingdom? Let me tell you three stories." Jesus wanted to illustrate healthy hearts and the generosity of his Father in heaven, which the Pharisees and the teachers of the law knew little to nothing about. They did not understand that Almighty God, Yahweh, was generous and kind and a father. Generosity, the generosity of Jesus in heaven is one of our core values here. Generosity. And no, I'm not going to take an offering. Everybody calm down. It's generosity. It's kindness. It's over-the-top kindness, excessive kindness. And Jesus wanted the people, all the people, to understand he's not angry, my Father in heaven. He's not mean. He really does not want to kill you. He doesn't measure everything down to the tenths. He's just generous. Generous. He started with turning the water into wine. 150 to 180 gallons of wine well into the wedding. He just wants to say, my Father in heaven is generous. So he begins to address these two groups, taking it as a teaching moment. And he begins with the lost coin and the lost sheep. You lost something. And Jesus says, I'm going to go find it. I'm going to leave 99. I'm going to go get the one. I'm going to bring it back, and there's great celebration. There was 10 silver coins. I lost one. I'm going to go find it. And the joy in finding that lost one. And then he gets down to the main heartbeat of what he wants to share with all these people. And he generates a story about a family. And he tells the story. It's a family of three. It's a dad and two boys. Jesus wants to have a teaching moment that these people will understand there's a gracious Father in heaven, a merciful Father, a merciful, merciful Father. And he represents that merciful Father in the story. And he's got a younger son in the story. Many of us will know the story. It's a young, impetuous young man, the younger son. The younger brother. He's impetuous, he's bored, he's rowdy, he's edgy, probably uses foul language. I know, like Kathy, she used foul language this morning, talking about the river, and whatever she talked about was a problem there. Don't usually hear that kind of language in church, but that's okay. If you don't get it, that's all right. A young, impetuous, rowdy young man. And there's an older brother, and the older brother is a good boy. He goes to church every Sunday, Saturday, reads the Bible, quotes the Bible, works hard, does exactly what daddy says. But this older brother, he's super serious and he's super intense. He's super cynical. He's real judgy. And he's irritated by his younger brother's just slack life, slovenly life. So Jesus sets up a scenario. You have a great dad and a younger brother who's just itching for trouble. And the older boy, tighter than tight, but he does everything right. Could be a golden child, but he's just seething with resentment underneath. So Jesus tells the third and final story. We're going to pick it up in verse 11. To present to the people, this is a family. It's not necessarily a healthy family in the sense that all their hearts are right, because Jesus wants to look, have everyone look on the inside and say, where are you personally in the story? Are you more like the younger brother or the older brother? Because the older brother presents really well. He really presents well. This young guy, trouble. Luke 15, verse 11 to 32. Jesus continued on. This is after the parable of the sheep and the parable of the lost coin. Start of the third story and final story in this teaching this day. Jesus continued. There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, Father, give me my share of the estate. So he divided his property among them. That's a huge problem for the religious people. Because in that culture, you don't do that. You can't do that. For the younger brother to approach the dad and say, give me my inheritance, is basically wishing the man dead already. I want you just to die prematurely so I can go spend your money. It was highly offensive. And the Jews, they understand their culture. And immediately they're like, well, that little so-and-so. How, we read it and you think, eh, edgy. Bold. Audacious. But to the Jewish people, what kind of kid is this? He weren't raised right. And then something worse than the boy's request happens. Far worse. Father, give me my share of the estate. And so the dad divided his property among them. What kind of responsible dad's going to do that? You can't do that. Is this dad even a good Jewish man? You can't. It's offensive from the start. The religious crowd is uptight about the story. Somebody needs to bring some discipline here. So the dad divided his property among them, between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had. See? Told you. Set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth. Bad investments. Crypto. A Buick. Don't buy a Buick. Cubs jerseys. Squandered his wealth. Nope. He squandered his wealth in wild living. He's preaching to a religious Jewish teachers of the law who don't do anything wrong. After the boy had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country who sent him to his fields to feed. You could go work in the machine shop. You can go dig ditches. Pigs to Jewish leaders. Whoa. We are off the charts. And I hate this story, Jesus. It better end well. Inheritance. What's wrong with that dad empowering his stupid son? Now there's pigs involved. So the boy, he longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. Good. When the boy came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my dad, my father, and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. Right. Now we're back on track. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. So he got up and he went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. Here we go again, Jesus. And then he did something that no Jewish leader could or would ever do. Rabbis, Pharisees, teachers of the law, you don't run in public as a man, as a leader. It's not dignified. And if these Jewish leaders were anything, they're dignified. And it's all about show. Remember Jesus talking to him and he's like, you guys pray in public so people will watch you. It was all about public performance because you had to be right. And now he's got this dad who empowered the boy to go blow the family money. Now this dad is running to his son. This cannot be. And then his dad, he throws his arms around him and kisses him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, quick. Some translations say, while the boy was still speaking, the boy still got the story. He came up with, he's probably learned how to be a fast talker and talk himself out of stuff. He knows how to spin a good story. So he's telling his story, hey, Dad, I'm not worthy. And he's like, bring the good stuff. But the father said to his servants, quick. No, you need to hear the story, Dad. Quick. Bring the best robe and put it on him. I won't go into the background of what that signifies. Put a ring on his finger. Re-inheriting him, all that. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. At least it's better than pork. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. So they began to celebrate. Boy, I've had that song on cue right now. Ah, be too much. Meanwhile, the older son, Mr. Cynical, Mr. Squeaky Clean, Mr. Does It All Correct on the outside. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. And when he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of his servants and asked him, what was going on? Can you imagine the tone in his voice? Your brother has come, he replied, the servant replied. And your father has killed the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound. The older brother became angry and refused to go in. All the leaders, the Jewish leaders, are right. We're not going in. Good call, older brother. So his father went out, just like he'd gone out for the younger brother. This time, Dad left the house for the older brother. So he, the father, went out and argued with him, yelled at him, cajoled. Now he pleaded with him. Cajoled could work in there. So the dad went out and he said, Son, it's time to celebrate. But the boy, the older boy, but he answered his father, look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. And I believe that was probably true. This older boy was right. He did everything by the book. He may have been grumbling. Anybody ever grumble on the inside?
All the time.
Ooh. Grumbling right now. When are you going to wind it up? Come on. Are there any treats? We just came off the chili. There's got to be some leftover chili. Some of us have professional PhDs in grumbling on the inside. You'd never know it. We got a great card face. I love you. Now, think about issues at work, issues with teenagers, issues with the parents, issues with the spouse, possibly. I don't know. The boy is furious. Look, all these years I've been slaving for you. That's a strong word for a son to a dad. I've been slaving for you. Our words expose what's happening. And I never disobeyed your orders. Not your wants. Not represent your heart, Dad. Not doing something for the family because I care. I'm a slave for you, and I never disobeyed an order. Yet, even though I did everything perfect, yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. And here's a great phrase. Look at this next phrase. When this son of yours, it's his brother. It's Bob. But he doesn't address his brother as brother. He doesn't address him as Bob or Mr. Softy or. But this son of yours, no relation to me, Dad. Today, it all changes. You want him, you got him. But when this son of yours, who has squandered your property with prostitutes, comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him? Wow. My son, the father said, and this is what Rick mentioned and referenced earlier. My son, the father said, you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we have to celebrate and be glad. Because this brother of yours, reminding him, it's not my son only, this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and he's found. This story has now registered with the Jewish leaders, the Pharisees and the teachers of the law. You're talking about us. You think we're the older brother? Can you imagine? Don't imagine too much. What they were saying on the inside about Jesus. This story is so offensive to the Jewish leaders, all the Bible people, all the churchgoers. He asked for an inheritance early, wishing you dead. He squandered your wealth. He's messing with pigs. And now you're going to show him mercy? And then you're going to re-inherit him so he can do it again? What kind of dad are you? Rewarding sinful behavior with a party? Oh, I get it. It's all that sloppy grace I hear about. And you just choose to insult us to our face. See, it's funny when you read the story and just stop and just gaze at it and think about it. The father saw him while he was far off. The dad saw the boy when he was far off. I don't think that was just mileage. I think he saw his son when his son's heart was very far away. His son's heart was a million miles farther away than his feet were. And his dad could still see the boy, which is why the dad was waiting for him. Because I love this boy. And I know the seed I put into this boy. I'm looking because he's coming. I'm looking because he's coming. Because I love this boy. He's been a stupid little boy. He's been very naughty. And he just thinks, it's the family name, the dad, it's the family name. He's been misrepresenting the family name. And that is utmost in the older brother's mind. He's squandering part of his, the older brother's wealth. He's dragging the family name through the pig pods. And he's totally disgusted. The older brother is like, well, Bobby's come home. Look who we have here. Somebody's finally come crawling. I bet he's got his hand out. I wonder what story he's spinning for daddy now. He's always got a great story. He's probably hungover. Probably smells like cheap lady's perfume. Blaming everybody else for all his flaws. And talk his way out of it. Yeah, dad will probably listen to him. Usually does. What this boy needs is a good repayment loan with high interest. This boy doesn't need sloppy grace. What this boy needs is a repayment plan and some financial fiduciary responsibility. This boy is sloppy. And all he's learned is it's so easy to come home. It's so easy. But for the Jewish tradition, it was not so easy to come home. You were going to pay. There's books in the Bible, in the Old Testament, that talk about people having to pay as they come back into the Jewish family. But Jesus came and he wanted to tell the perfect story. The perfect story that the Jewish people could understand. This is what your dad in heaven is like. He really is. He's just that kind. He's just that merciful. Not only does he not set up a repayment plan for the wasted inheritance, he re-inherits him with no visible, no fruits of repentance. He stops him in the middle of his story and says, get the re-inheritance papers out. We're doing it right now. Doesn't he have to prove himself? You don't have to prove to a father like that. You don't have anything to prove. It's a free gift. And the crazy thing is, the free gift keeps coming. Yeah. And it doesn't make sense to the natural mind. Why would you do that? Because I love you. Yeah. And if you need the 3,432 second chance, you're going to get another chance. Yeah. Because he's just that kind. These folk, bring it on. Jesus, I love this. How many times can I sin? Thank you, Peter. But Jesus, he just wants them to learn. This is the kind of God you serve. And you religious folks hate it because it seems too cheap, too easy. And Jesus said, it's not about easy. It's about a father's love. It's a father's love that doesn't make sense. It's excessive. It's overly kind. It's overly gracious. It's easy to come back in. And if you're truly his son, maybe you actually never really left. Your feet wandered away, but you're going to come back home because home is safe. Home is really safe. So Jesus did something in that moment. For me, one of the two greatest stories that I can personally relate to, teach him about what my dad's like in heaven. And the Pharisees so hated it, they murdered the Messiah they were praying for. Because he can't look like that. Can't. We're going to look for another Messiah. Because that Jesus, that message, it's offensive. It's so amazing. Jesus loves you so intentionally, so overwhelmingly, so graciously, so mercifully, so beyond all reason. Let me finish with this one or two verses. Luke 18, verse 10 to 14. Luke 18. Again, red letter, still Jesus teaching, different crowd. Two men went up to the temple to pray. One a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. Jesus is just goading these people. It's like, does that bother you? Does that bother you? Does that bother you? It's all over the New Testament. He's not being mean. He's driving a point home. So they can't possibly miss it. And they missed it. So two men went up to a temple to pray. One a Pharisee and the other the tax collector. You guys still in the good crowd over here. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed, God, I thank you that I am not like the other people. Robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. See, for me, I fast twice a week and I give a tenth of all I get. Second scenario, but the tax collector stood also at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven. And he beat his breast and he said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you that this man, Jesus speaking again, I tell you that this man, the tax collector, went home more justified before God. But for all those who exalt themselves, they will be humbled. And those who humble themselves will be exalted. Jesus is talking about healthy heart. To know, if Jesus was teaching this morning, to know on the inside, how much of me is sitting over with the Pharisees? How much of my heart's over here? And how much of my heart's over here with this tax collector just saying, help me and thank you. Thank you. They murdered Jesus because of this message, the kindness of God, the ability to be forgiven. They killed him for it. It's an upside down kingdom, the kingdom of heaven. It doesn't make sense, naturally speaking. Two quick verses, then I'll close. Promise. Set your clocks, 120 seconds. I know, there you go, threw it down. I saw Holly. John 15:13. Jesus speaking. Greater love has no one than this. Greater love has no one than this. To lay down one's life for one's friends. That's what Jesus did. For the religious and the sinners. Luke 6:27-28. But to you who are listening, I say, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, and pray for those who mistreat you. Well, that, what? Yeah, it's an upside down kingdom. Because that's exactly what Jesus did for me and you. He loved us when we were enemies. He loved us when we were unlovely. He loved us when I had nothing to offer him. He said, I'll take him on my team. Me? I'll take Tom. Shock. Nothing to offer God except appreciation, gratitude, thankfulness, and a willingness to want to change because the Spirit of God comes inside me when I give my heart to Jesus. Let's pray. Jesus, I thank you for coming. I thank you for your radical, ridiculous, over-the-top message of how much you love me and how much you love Bill, how much you love Cindy, how much you love Sue, how much you love Julie, how much you love Bob. Jesus, all I can say is thank you. For the rest of my days, thank you. And Lord, in light of the embarrassing amount of grace and mercy you show me, Lord, I want to live for you. My best is never good enough. It never will be good enough. But because of how much you love me, Jesus, I want to give that love away to people. Show me how I can do it. Open my eyes to see how I can love my enemies who say things about me or hurt me or exclude me or wound me or don't seem to forgive me. Let my response be love and kindness to them, because I know that's what I received from you yesteryear, today, and your promise for tomorrow. Jesus, help us as a body to live like you, to sound like you, have healthy hearts that can create a healthy family right here on the edge of St. Peter's and O'Fallon, Lord. With healthy, changing hearts, that we can be a healthy family. Help me help us. If you're here today and you didn't respond to what my lovely wife Randy shared earlier, if you know that you know that is not the gospel I understood, and I don't know that I know Jesus like that, here's an opportunity again this morning. If you want to follow Jesus, just pray after me. Jesus, what I heard sounds amazing. Sounds impossible. But Jesus, I know the Bible says you died on the cross. And you died on the cross for me. And that you offer me eternal life by exchanging my will my desire for your will, your desire, by inviting you into my life, that you would be the boss of my life. Jesus, I need a second chance. I'm inviting you into my life now. I give up, I surrender, and I surrender to you. Have your way in my life. Help me. Help me, Jesus. I need help. I don't want to be religious. I don't want to be a phony, but I know I need you, Jesus. Please come into my life. I invite you in. Thank you.
Thanks for checking out the Life Church St. Peter's Message of the Week. For more podcasts and additional information, visit us at lifechurchstpeters.com.